Good morning, everyone. You know, there's a verse in the Old Testament that says, I was glad when they said, come to the house of the Lord. And that's how I feel every time I have the opportunity to meet with my brothers and sisters anywhere I am. And sometimes it's in a beautiful little church in Elkton, and sometimes it's on a basketball court in the Philippines. And anywhere I have the opportunity, I just love to be with God's people. And so I'm here. I'm going to share a little bit about what we do, what we're planning on doing, and all of that. And before I get into all that, I just wanted to introduce myself. Some of you are very familiar and fond of our family, and you're related. And the back quarter, and we have a lot of family mixed in here today. And it's wonderful to see you guys. And so I'm Tyler Vafakis, and my parents are there in the back, and I grew up just up the road, just a little bit past Cherry Hill, middle school, and let's see, my grandfather is Keith, and there's my mom, and Aunt Dorothy, and Aunt Judy, and Bob, and Aunt Diane, and my sister. We got a lot of sister and brother and sister, and so we have a lot of family here today, and it's really wonderful, but you know, everyone always asks, like, how do you get to be a missionary? Like, how, why, you know? And so I want to just share a little bit of, like, how God called me to be a missionary. You know, I grew up in the church. My parents had me in church from almost the day I was born. My mom always talks about how excited she was to show me off to all the friends and family. And so very young age, I don't know, I was like 10 days old or 8 days old or something like that. When I first started going to church, and we were very active in our church, and we were there Sundays and Sunday evenings and Wednesdays, and when I was old enough to start going to youth group on Fridays, every opportunity we were there, and I loved it. I had so much fun. I had so many friends, and just, you know, I would grow up, I would live at the church if I could. I just loved it so much. I had so much fun. And but I have a confession, you know, until I was 12, I was just there for the fun. I was just there for my friends. And, you know, I listened. I was in kids' church. I was a good boy. And you know, I enjoyed it. I never didn't want to go to church, I think. But until I was 12, you know, I was just there for the fun. When I was 12, my youth pastor came up to my mom and I in the foyer, and he said, hey, you know, you're 12 now, right? It's about your birthday, and, you know, you're old enough to start going to youth group. What's youth group? I had no idea what youth group was, and he described it. We have sports, there's dodgeball and basketball, and there's free pizza and the snacks, and you know, I was there for it. You know, I was so excited about the dodgeball. I was so excited about the free pizza bites and the soda, whatever it was. And I started going, and I got so enthusiastic about the dodgeball and the pizza bites that I say I became an evangelist for dodgeball and pizza bites. I started inviting all my friends from the middle school. I said, you got to come to youth group. What's youth group? And I told them, you know, there's dodgeball, there's sports, there's a little service in the middle, and there's some singing and stuff, but then there's more dodgeball and and the snacks and stuff, you know, cookies and whatever, chips, you know. And so my friends started coming. My first friend that came, his name was Nick, and he, I don't think, had ever been to church before. I don't think he had ever heard the gospel before, but this was around Easter 18 years ago. And on the drive home, my dad was driving us home, and my friend Nick, he had just heard the gospel for the first time, just heard that Jesus died for us. And he said, well, why did Jesus die for us? And I was 12. I grew up in the church. I was very active in the church. I knew I should have an answer. I knew that was one of the most fundamental things that we should know, but I didn't have an answer. And so my dad, he stepped in and he answered. I don't know if you remember this or you heard this anytime recently, but, you know, my dad, he was able to give an answer, but I was so ashamed. I was very upset. I cried the rest of the way home. And when we got in the garage, he asked me, like, why didn't you answer? He didn't mean anything by it, but it really just broke my heart even more. And, you know, I was too ashamed to say I didn't have an answer. So that night, I'm not exaggerating, we got back home probably around 11 o'clock that night. I read all of Matthew, I read all of Mark, I read all of Luke, and I skipped to the second half of John because I was getting tired. I stayed up all night. I didn't go to sleep that night. And I prayed, God, next time I want to have an answer. And so I started reading the Bible every day. I got so hungry for the Word. And so, you know, I would come home after school, I would be reading the Word. At nighttime, I would get in trouble sometimes because I was staying up, I was reading and stuff like that. But a couple months later, I went to a kids' camp. And I didn't really want to go to kids' camp. The 12-year-olds could go to youth camp, they could go to kids' camp, they could go to both. My parents decided I needed to go to the kids' camp. And it turned out to be one of the best decisions because it was in that kids' camp that year, 18 years ago. It was this time 18 years ago in July. And, you know, I kind of knew what to expect. The first night they would preach about salvation. And the next night, maybe they would preach about baptism. And then the last night, the night four, they would preach on the Great Commission. And the message went like this. You guys are kids. The youngest of you is maybe like 7. The oldest of you is like 12. I was 12. And you can't just get up and leave. You can't just go to the other side of the world right now. But God has called us to share the good news about Jesus, to share the message about why Jesus died for us. And he commissioned us. He sent us to the very ends of the earth. And what he said was, you know, the end will come when the job is done. He gave us the Great Commission, the mission to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. He said, you're going to preach the gospel to every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every people. And when you finish the job, then the end comes. You know, this is, let's see, I think Mark chapter 13, if you want to look that up. Jesus is talking about the end because the disciples asked. And he said, you're going to go to the ends of the earth and you're going to preach the gospel. But the message was, you know, you can't do that right now. You're kids. But this is what you can do. If you're willing to commit to reaching your school for Christ, then on the count of three, I want you to shout out the name of your school. And he starts counting down. He's 3. I'm thinking Cherry Hill Middle School is a small school. I don't know. I think it was like 300 people. Like, I want to do something bigger for God. And 2. I say, you know, Maryland is a small state. I think like 6 million people. I don't know. Like, I want to do something bigger for God. And when he says 1, then I shout out, the world, because I want to change the world for Christ. And in that moment, God spoke to me. He gave me just 1 word, but I knew exactly what he meant. And the way I describe it is, it wasn't an audible voice like you hear me now, but it would not have been any more real if it had been. I say that I heard it so clearly then, and I feel it in my soul still today, the same. Not like an echo, but it just is the eternal word of God. You know, it's his word to me. It was just 1 word. It was Asia. But I knew in that moment God was calling me to be a missionary in Asia. And so I started praying. I said, Lord, I don't know what country. You know, Asia's not a country. I can't just go to Asia. You know, I can't get a passport, a plane ticket to Asia. I need a country. And so I started praying. And the first country I started praying for was the Philippines. And, you know, I prayed for all the different countries. And I said, Lord, like, what country? And instead of God saying, no, not the Philippines, no, not North Korea, that was the second one I prayed for. And, you know, instead of that, it was more like God was adding countries to my heart. And so he added the Philippines to my heart, and he added North Korea to my heart, and he added all the different countries in Asia to my heart. And so, you know, I've been on this journey for a long time. It was, I want to say, 14, 15 years of praying, like, Lord, what country? And then I realized, like, God is calling me to Asia. God has a vision bigger than what I was imagining. And he's showing me, you know, I'm going to use you in an amazing way to reach people from all different nations. And so my wife and I are praying, and we know that God is saying, now is the time to go. And kind of like Abraham, you know, God said, go. But he didn't say where to go. He just had to go. The important thing was obedience. And so originally we had other plans. And we were going to leave in February. We were going to go to China, but the door closed for us to go there. And so we said, well, we know God has said it's time to go. And it doesn't really seem to matter where we go. And we're praying, like, Lord, where should we go? I started my master's degree at a school in Philippines online. So I said, let's move to the Philippines. And so 2.5 years ago, we moved to the Philippines. And we started doing ministry there. And we started church planting. And we helped with a church plant when we first got there. and we were a part of another church, and we were running the children's ministry, especially my wife was running the children's ministry there, and really seeing a lot of growth in our outreaches. We had an outreach in a Muslim community. You see right behind me, there's a mosque in the background, and we're almost on the doorstep on a basketball court across the street, and we're preaching the gospel to the kids, and there's kids, the hijabs, and you know what we're doing. And it's amazing to see what God is doing in that community. And we saw the outreach there grow from 20 kids up to, I think our record was 95. And then another church is taking over that ministry. And we started the one church. We didn't even plan on starting that church, but we were going, my friend and I, were going to a women's Bible study. I don't know why he was going to a women's Bible study, but I said, I'll go with you so you're not alone at the women's Bible study. I invited myself. I don't know what I was doing, but we arrived, and one of the ladies said, we decided we're starting a church today, and you're preaching in 15 minutes. How many of you guys, that's your worst nightmare? if pastor is, hey, I need to tell you something. You're going to be up here today. Are you ready? The Bible says always be ready for a reason for the hope that you have. And so I want to challenge you guys, know why you're here. Know why God has called you. Know why Jesus died for you. Know why, he suffered and he did all these things. When somebody has a question, be ready with an answer. That's my challenge for you guys. That's not my challenge. It's God's challenge. It's God's word. And, we started a church that day and wasn't even trying to, but it did. It's Agape Church. It's just west of the city that we live in. And we had an opportunity to start another church on the coast, and we helped start that. We were just involved a little briefly. And then we felt like the Lord was saying, we want you to start another church, but this time, instead of just helping, instead of assisting, we want you to be leading. And so we prayed about it. We said, Lord, where do you want us to start a church? And there's a community. The city that we live in is Baguio. They say the coldest city in the Philippines. But by that, they mean it's between 60 and 80 degrees all year round. So it's not cold. But they consider that cold. And we're built into the mountains. So, if you imagine, if you've ever been to the Shenandoah, the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia or something like that, it's kind of like that. There's a lot of mountains in the area, and the city's just built in the valleys, up the hills, and we're on one of those mountainsides. Our community is just one big hill, and so to get from anywhere to anywhere, you got to walk. From our house to the church plant, we had probably walk about a mile uphill. It seemed like both ways, and they always say that, but it really feels like it. I'm honest. I don't know what it is, and people always ask me, what does church planting look like in the Philippines? It's very different compared to here, and so we decided, we look at the book of Acts, and we see that they're meeting every day, so we said, we're going to start meeting every day. No, that's different. We don't do that here. There's very few churches, I think, that are meeting every day like that. And we said, we want to commit to that because the Bible says that the church was experiencing everyday growth. And I think it's because they're preaching every day. It says they were meeting every day in the temple courts and in each other's homes. And so we take that as our model. And so it looks a little different. We said, oh, there's no temple courts, but we're going to meet on the basketball court. There's a public basketball court in the neighborhood. A lot of people come. They just want to hang out, play basketball, whatever. We said, that's a good place to start. And we can just show up. We're going to take over a little corner. It's okay if there's basketballs flying at us sometimes, but we're going to preach the gospel anyway. And so we just invite anybody who's there to come and join us. And, the first day, I think we had like three kids, and we had a small group, and we were there to reach the kids that day, and we had three kids, and my three kids also, and so we had a small little group, we had a craft, and that's where it started, and we showed up the next day. I think we had five kids the next day, and so we keep showing up, and we keep showing up, and there's different people that show up each day. There's some people show up every day. If we do two a day, then they're showing up twice a day. And there's others that are showing up once a week or every couple of weeks or something like that. But we're there for them. And there's days where there's a typhoon, like a hurricane, we still meet. And we have a little roof over the basketball court. There's no walls, but, you know, the fog comes in still. But if you can imagine that, and we're still there. We're meeting. Even if it's just one or two kids that show up, we're there for them. Because we don't want to get into an attitude of, like, it's not worth it. There's only two kids. There's only one. You know, Jesus went for the one, you know, the one lost sheep. He's the good shepherd that even shows up for the one, even goes out for the one. And so we want to take that as our model. So we go out, even if it's bad weather, we're going out. And we want to reach the entire community. So we're looking at the book of Acts, and it says they're going door to door. They're preaching everywhere. And it says, I forget what region it was, but there was a certain province of Rome, the Roman Empire, where it said they reached every single person, every house in that region. Just imagine the state of Maryland, reaching every house in the state of Maryland within 2 years. And it's like, that is amazing. That's not with modern technology. That's not even with a motorbike or anything like that. You know, they're walking, they're riding horses, they're going everywhere. So we start doing evangelism, going door to door. And what we would do is this, you know, we go to this lady's house and she says, I need peace. We're going to pray for you for peace. And then I'll write her a letter and just give her a page front and back. These are all the verses I can find that I think would help you out. You know, Jesus died for your peace. He died for you to have peace, not just eternal salvation, but he died so that you don't have to wrestle with depression or anxiety, stuff like that. You know, that's good news that people need to hear. And so we start doing that. And then I said, you know, one at a time, I don't think that's good enough for me. I want to do more. I that's my heart always. I want to do more. And so what can we do? I said, we have these things called jeepneys in the Philippines. If you imagine like a truck, a pretty long truck, pickup truck, it's got the cover over top of it, and you put a couple of benches in there and squeeze 23 Filipinos in there. That's what we're talking about with a jeepney. It's very unique to the Philippines, and you can't get those here at the dealership. But we'll cram. They don't know anything about personal space. You know, people are half on your lap sometimes, and you might have hardly anything on the seat, and you know, it's different. But I said, let's go to the jeepney station. You think like a bus station or something. There's a lot of them lined up, and they're filling up. They all have their different destinations around town. And, you know, we go and we wait till it's almost full, almost ready to go. And then we preach to everyone in there. And they're so amazed. They're, what is this white person doing shouting? And they're passing out little gifts. And it's a little bracelet we give out. And it has different colors. And it's, you know, black is representing sin. And the red represents the blood of Jesus, and the white represents how he makes us pure, and the green represents how we're going to grow in our faith, and the gold represents the streets of gold and the glory that we get to see one day, and get to experience and walk with Christ. And we use that as a tool to share the gospel, and so we're giving that out. And we have people in our neighborhood that are like, I remember you. I don't know who you are. But they say, you gave me this bracelet. I say, oh, what? Do you remember what it means? And maybe they do, and maybe they don't. If they don't, we can share again. And if they do remember, then we challenge them. Make sure you're going and you're sharing that. And so we have the jeepney driver, one of them. He put the bracelet up in the window, and he put a little tract up there that explains it. And he told us, you know, if we're waiting in traffic, somebody can read that, and I can use that to share the gospel with people. So you have, just imagine like a taxi driver. Now he's made it his mission. He's going to preach the gospel. And it's really amazing to see. And one of my other favorite testimonies to share, there's a girl named Shane, and she's 12 years old, and she told us God is calling her to be a missionary. I said, I take that seriously. I was 12 when God called me to be a missionary, and I'm here, and I'm doing it. And so when she says that, I say, you know, I believe you. I believe God spoke to you, and we're going to do everything we can to support you. And it's one of the most amazing things, you know. She started inviting all her cousins and bringing them. And even when her aunt started to physically abuse her because of her coming to our church, it's a complicated situation. The both parents are in foreign countries to work because they can make more money outside of the Philippines. And the daughter, Shane, is left with her aunt, and her aunt is taking care of her. The aunt doesn't speak the same language as any of the nieces and nephews that she's watching. And it's caused a lot of friction in that family. And so then, you know, all that tension is built up. She's starting to be abusive toward Shane. And when her parents found out, she said, well, we're going to move for you to live with a different aunt 5 hours away in Manila. And when she heard that, she told us, the whole congregation, all the kids in the church, he said, I'm going to be a missionary. God called me to be a missionary, and I'm not going to wait. I'm going to start now. When I go to the big city, you know, I go to Manila, I'm going to be a missionary starting now. And I'm going to start an outreach just like what we're doing. And I'm going to teach the kids on the street. I'm going to invite them just like you did. And I'm going to preach to them just like you did. And I want to do crafts with them just like you did. I said, I believe you. I want to help you. And so we provided a curriculum that she can teach and provided some coloring pages and some craft supplies and different things that she can use. And so we followed up with her a couple weeks later. She said, I started. We have about 12 kids on the street, and we're just meeting on a sidewalk. And you just imagine the big city, Manila, and this little 12-year-old girl has collected 12 kids on a sidewalk, and she's teaching about Jesus. I can hardly wrap my mind around it. It's one of the most beautiful and amazing and powerful things that I've seen. And so we said, well, we want to follow up with this girl. We're going to get her a study Bible so she can continue to learn and grow. We're going to make sure she gets planted in a good church so she's being supported, and we want to continue to support her. But, you know, she told us another time, she said, I'm being persecuted. I'm having these teenage boys come in, and they're ripping up our pages and just throwing our stuff around, and they're being very unkind to us. But she said, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to continue to do this because I know that it's worth it. And I know that this is the most important thing. I know that this is what God has called me to. And so it's just like, you know, she was persecuted in her home, and then she was persecuted on the streets, and she's persevering through all of that. We don't have any kind of, I can't relate to that myself. I haven't really faced the persecution that she has. And at such a young age, I was well supported by my family and the church and all of that. You know, I had a very different story, but it's so inspiring to me to see this little girl, Shane. And so, you know, when you think of us, you remember her in your prayers and remember the other kids as well. You know, these little kids, they're turning into little missionaries themselves, and they're sharing the gospel with their friends at school. And they're giving out tracts in the neighborhood, and they're sharing the gospel with their parents and inviting their parents to come. And we have some parents that they'll sit in on the services, and they're just there to pay attention. But the story with Shane is not over there. When Shane left to go to Manila, that aunt that was abusing her started attending our church. But she doesn't speak our language. I don't know why she's there exactly, but I think she understands the love of God through our actions. And we've been very kind to her. We've been very inviting to her. We greet her with a smile. I think she knows we know the situation, but we've always been very kind to her. She's never stopped coming, even though she doesn't understand anything. She's there. We meet every single day. She's there every single day. We meet twice a day. She's there twice a day. We finally found out what language she speaks. And we don't know anybody who speaks that language. In the Philippines, I think there's a couple hundred languages, and every tribe, it's almost like every county has its own language. It's very different. And there's a couple of languages that are like national languages, but not everyone speaks them. It's just amazing to me that, you know, the Lord is able to use this terrible situation to reach the aunt, and now the aunt is the one that's bringing those other cousins, the nieces and nephews. And it's like, you know, God is doing something really powerful. And there's one last story I wanted to leave you guys with. I could share for days, I think. He asked me to do a miracle. He said, you come from the Philippines and 2.5 years of ministry and you get 20 minutes. I said, well, yeah, I'll do my best. One more story. I could go for days, though, you know. But there's another young girl. She's about the same age. She's 12 now. She was probably 11 at the time. Her name is Iza. And when we first started the church, the first thing we did was we played a Jesus movie. It's called the Jesus Film. It's a popular tool to use for evangelism in foreign countries. It's translated into a lot of different languages, so we can use it. We can play the story of Jesus in their language, and so we did. And this girl, Isa, she was there from the very first meeting that we ever had for this church plant. And she's not a Christian background, though. She comes from a cult. There's a local cult. They don't even believe that Jesus is God, you know? That's one of the most fundamental things we have to understand. And their cult is against that. But she comes, and she starts coming every day, and we have hurricane season for 3 months of this time of year. And, sometimes our street is covered in, 9 inches of rushing water. I don't know how she's getting to my house, but she's there every day. I really have no idea. I can't even imagine how she's getting there because I see the streets are flooded. But she's there every day, and then she starts asking questions, and she starts memorizing scripture, not verses at a time, but chapters at a time. And it's like the devotion that this girl has is just astounding. Well, her parents are not happy that she's with us, but she perseveres and she comes anyway. And then her mom starts asking questions, and my wife has an opportunity to come and pray for her. And then now she's started attending a Bible study, a women's Bible study that we have a couple times a week. And then the dad is starting to ask questions, you know, the big question, like, how do you know that Jesus is God? Well, I can show you with the Bible. I can show you the different verses and show you, like, it really does say this. You know, Jesus is God, and he's not just the Savior, but he's our Savior. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He's the one that gives us peace. And it's like, we have this kids outreach, you know, every day, and now we're reaching the parents, and more parents are getting involved in the Bible studies and asking questions, and we're just very excited to see what God is doing. You know, I like to share the big picture. I like to share the little stories as well. I know those ones are close to our heart, but you know, I would just challenge you guys, you know, get into the Word. The Word is the power of God. And it says, we're not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel, the good news, is the power of God. And it's the power of God for salvation in your life. It's the power of God for healing in your life. It's the power of God for getting peace from the anxiety and the depression. And God can really set you free. He breaks every chain. If there's anything that you're bound by, he can break that chain. And, you know, it's good news, but it's good news for the world. And we're taking it to the ends of the earth. We're starting in Baguio in the Philippines, and we're going beyond that. And, you know, we have plans to continue, you know, our whole life. We're going to live and die for the gospel over there. And, you know, maybe you never get to go to Baguio. You never get to see the Philippines, but you have a hand in the Philippines. You have the opportunity to preach the gospel through us, and you're supporting us. And it's my honor to represent you guys. And representing the Lord and just taking the good news of Jesus to people that they're so desperate for the good news. And, you know, it's, they say, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And I really feel that. You know, I dreamed about being in the Philippines or being in Asia for 15 years before I actually got to go. And it's like, you know, we don't get burnt out. We don't get tired preaching every day. You know, sometimes we do twice a day. And we started 15 months ago. We've had 650 services so far. It's we're going hard, but we love what we do, and we love to see lives changed. And I think we had this this little line in one of the songs. I'll end with that though. You know, God is our special treasure. He's our treasure. You know, there's no limit to that treasure. You imagine just a mountain of treasure, and you take a little bit and more comes down, and you take a little bit and more comes down. It's never ending, and you can share with everyone around you, and you'll never run out. And it's like, you know, God is an unending treasure. But it says also in the Bible, you know, make sure that you're storing up treasures in heaven and not treasures here on earth. And what we're doing, and what I'm challenging you guys to make sure that you're doing here, is store up treasures in heaven. And those treasures are immortal souls. Those treasures are people. The only thing that's going to last is people. Everything else passes away in fire in the end. The only thing that gets through the fire is people. And you want to make sure that you're storing up people in heaven for eternity, that they can enjoy the presence and the glory of God forever. So that's my message today. So.